This is one of the lecture series on dealing with difficult people. This is Professor Ingrid Buchwagler. Whether you are involved in secular employment, full-time ministry, or volunteer work, difficult people frequently cross your path and make life miserable for you. What do you do? How should you respond? Here's the purpose for this course. It will help you to identify, understand, cope with, and yes, even appreciate difficult people. It will attempt to identify the various categories of difficult people, illustrate their strategies and dynamics, and explore biblical data regarding our response to such individuals. Certainly, as in any course, our aim isn't to have you agree 100% with every concept in this course, but it is designed for you to think carefully and thoughtfully and prayerfully about the ideas that will be presented. And it is designed to allow the Spirit of the Lord not only to sharpen your mind and increase your knowledge, but to deepen your understanding of Him and of His ways as you learn how to deal with difficult people. So the idea is to adapt this material to your situation in a very practical and personal manner. And I hope you'll be kind enough to allow me a little humor from time to time. It does help, doesn't it, with this subject? So, as I'm sitting here, I can imagine you with paper and pen in hand. So we will enjoy some hours together on this subject that is so germane to our lives personally, our jobs, all our relationships. So first things first, please bow your head with me and I'll pray. Dear Father God, thank you for this opportunity to teach about difficult people, a subject which I, like all our Trinity students that are listening right now, have both experience and passion, very decided opinions, and by your grace, growing understanding. I pray, Lord, that this course will be so helpful to them, that they will gain an understanding of your heart and your truth in dealing with those relationships which we really struggle in. I pray that the students will come away from these lectures, certainly with techniques and strategies to handle problematical people well, but even more so with a greater hope and trust in you, Jehovah Jireh, the God who is enough, who is sufficient for all the difficult situations we encounter as we seek to be about our Father's business. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, let's begin. Remember I said that a sense of humor does help. So maybe you could agree with me on this Survivor's Creed. By the grace of God, nothing or no one I've faced has killed me yet. And I must believe that with His strength, I can handle every difficult person that comes my way wisely, graciously, resolutely, and clearly. So help me God. Isn't that the truth, though? I'm a forgiven, cleansed, born anew child of God. I am grafted into the true vine, and His Holy Spirit is pouring abundant life into me right now. Thus, no difficult people pose a threat. They can reject me, hurt me, certainly make my life miserable for a while, but they can't destroy me. Therefore, I don't need to be so afraid of them that my fear controls how I treat them. Most of the lecture material can easily be applied to marriage and children. After all, the most difficult people sometimes are those that are closest to us. It also can be applied to relationships with unbelievers, with the business world, and so on. However, the course is going to concentrate on those difficult people we must deal with in the church family. The ones we might never choose as friends, but we must relate to because they're part of our local church fellowship. One of my dearest friends called me up this past week. "Ingrid," she says, "how are you doing getting ready for taping your Difficult People course?" "Oh, I'm about ready to start," I said. "You have to stop somewhere. The trouble is, I keep going to church, so I get so much more good data, you know, another batch of illustrations of difficult people." The material is designed for all of us church folks, but it is especially geared to those of us in church leadership. David Shirk of the Leadership Development Report says significant leaders aim first and continuously at peace and reconciliation. During her leadership of India, Indira Gandhi once said, "I suppose leadership at one time meant muscle, but today it means getting along with people." A poll done by Leadership Magazine revealed that 80% of pastors realize their need for help in dealing with difficult people. I'd like to meet the other 20%, actually, wouldn't you? Maybe they're just about ready for glory. They're just so sanctified and mature that they don't need help with difficult people. Or maybe some of that 20% is just in denial. Well, we in the church are not the only ones who want help in dealing with difficult people. Here's a brochure that just came across my desk in the last couple of weeks. It's for a business seminar called Conquering Workplace Negativity. And so they ask you to check the following that apply. Are squabbles flaring up over inconsequential matters in your business? Are people walking on eggshells, afraid to confront problems or volunteer help? Is discipline and quality suffering? Are gossip, fear, and rumors distracting people from their jobs? Do people seem preoccupied with their personal agendas? Are even your best people losing their enthusiasm? Are you spending more time soothing feelings and repairing damage than actually working? Well, it says, attend this training and learn proven ways to start turning things around. Here's another one. How to handle people with tact and skill is this business seminar. Never again fall victim to those who love to make life miserable for the rest of us, they advertise. They're going to give specific strategies for taking care of difficult people in the workplace. But back to the church. As I say this, I'm reminded of a pastor who asked me if I could do a session on dealing with difficult people for the home group leaders in his church. "We could really use a session on difficult people," he told me. "Why, just today, a group leader called for advice. He has a person attending their small group who comes in, lies down on the floor, puts his coat over his head, and hums. What should we do with this person?" Oh, yeah, the church is no stranger to strange and difficult people. And that reminds me of another story. On a gorgeous, warm summer evening last week, I was preparing the materials for this tape while sitting on the porch swing over at Grandma's house. My son was shooting hoops, and Grandma was out watering her flowers. I stopped to watch a hummingbird in the bird feeder. You know, it's one of those red gizmos where there's four little openings for hummingbirds to feed. I said, "Grandma, have there ever been four hummingbirds feeding at the feeder at one time?" "Oh, my no," says Grandma. "That one over there, that's the bossy one. He shoos the other hummingbirds away." "Ah, a difficult hummingbird," I thought to myself. Yes, and he's not the only one, Grandma says. Remember when we lived on the farm? We also had a hummingbird feeder down there, and the same thing happened. One day, Grandpa went out, got his pellet gun, and shot it. But it didn't help. A new, difficult hummingbird just took his place. We can't escape difficult people, my friends. Difficult people like difficult hummingbirds don't go away. We can't shoot them. And even so, it wouldn't matter. Another one would just take his place. Difficult people, like conflict and taxes, are inevitable, unavoidable, often painful, but must be dealt with. They are our next-door neighbor, who just happens to be a parishioner. They are our church organist, or our church drummer. They're dear Mrs. Smith, who always tells you how to run the church. Pastor, it's your difficult district superintendent. It's your teenager. All these people bringing you grief for perhaps a very short season, sometimes for a lifetime. So now we're ready for a working definition of difficult people. What is a difficult person? I've defined a difficult person as follows. A difficult person is one who must regularly, chronically, almost predictably oppose me in a selfish, dysfunctional way that is hurtful or destructive to me and or others around me. So right away, note the differences between the subject of difficult people and conflict management. The latter has to do with the church as a whole, as an organism in crisis. The church is ill, so to speak, and the illness needs to be managed well so the patient can regain its old health, vigor, and equilibrium. This may involve bringing in a consultant to give expert opinion, do some surgical procedures, and generally help to get the patient back on its feet. The people at the heart of the conflict may well, when things are going smoothly, never be thought of as difficult types at all. Also in a church conflict, it is most often the pastor who takes the brunt of the animosity. Often the people who want him out can even be quite cordial, but still determined that he be fired. Our topic, rather, has to do with the more day-in, day-out problems of regularly having to deal with people who really stretch our measure of grace. The church itself can be quite healthy, but you as pastor or church leader may still be going through the valley of the shadow of death, trying to get along with your own personal nemesis. Also, this definition says that a difficult person is not just someone who merely disagrees with me. It's not someone just having a bad day or picking an occasional fight. No, this is someone who must regularly, chronically, almost predictably be oppositional. It's not someone periodically hard to get along with because of a triggering event or unusual stress. Again, it's someone who is continually opposing, never quite satisfied, quick to criticize, slow to apologize, as the writer Marshall Shelley says. According to this definition, a difficult person is someone we're in relationship with. So it's not those rotten politicians. It's not the guy who cuts in front of you. It's not an obnoxious salesman. It's not my difficult company or my difficult circumstances, but a difficult, very much alive human being. We are in relationship with this person and we just can't walk away. We work with him or her. We live with them. We interact with them. We depend on them for something, and they in turn need us. As G.K. Chesterton says, the Bible tells us to love our neighbors, and in the next breath, to love our enemies, probably because they are generally the same people. Again, we'll deal mainly with relationships in the church, and especially as they affect pastoral and lay leadership. As one Trinity student told me, the Bible college I used to attend simply didn't get me ready for what I would face in the churches I've been serving. You know, at this point, you might be asking what my qualifications are for teaching this topic. As for training, I could cite my doctoral work in conflict management or my extensive training and experience in counseling. As a counselor, for example, I was always being asked the same basic question. Please tell me how to fix the difficult people in my life. But this alone wouldn't qualify me to speak on this subject. How about this? My daddy was a pastor, as was my brother and my husband. I've had a lifelong front seat on dealing with difficult people in the church. I have the scars to prove it. But I'm better, not bitter. How about you? And I do not want to waste the costly lessons I've learned by continuing to deal with difficult people in unhelpful ways and then wonder why I keep getting poor results. Oh, I'm also a music director and a worship leader, so I know all those quirks that creative, right-brained, gifted, temperamental musicians have. Perhaps my husband knows them too. Me? Difficult? We might talk about that later. As I said earlier, the scripture is full of examples of difficult people. The Bible, as always, is our best guide. Here, for starters, are a few examples of difficult people. Cain found Abel difficult and eventually murdered him. Esau and Jacob had fought from the womb on. Jacob eventually got what he wanted through deceit. Of course, it didn't help that his parents, Isaac and Rebekah, each had their favorite son, and that Rebekah was an accomplice to the deception. That was a difficult dynamic right there. Certainly, their descendants are still fighting. Joseph had his share of difficult people, didn't he? His brothers sell him. Potiphar's wife destroys his reputation and has him imprisoned. But what the enemy intended for evil, God brought about for good as Joseph responded with faith and hope in God, even in a very difficult situation with difficult people. Many of David's psalms are his heart cries to God when he's harassed and hounded by the difficult people in his life. Paranoid, antagonistic Saul, his treacherous son Absalom. David's relationship with Saul is particularly informative. Despite Saul's jealousy and rage, David still treated him with value and respect. By the way, the Psalms in general certainly give us permission to acknowledge our anger, our pain, our sadness at being ill-treated, don't they? Many of the Proverbs are sound, practical, spiritual street smarts for dealing with difficult people. Jesus was certainly surrounded by difficult people, and we will look at his response in greater depth later in this tape series. Paul and Silas in prison at midnight could have turned on each other, but decided to praise God instead, knowing that they weren't wrestling against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. The result was freedom, joy, and souls won for the kingdom. Paul and Barnabas clashed over young John Mark joining them on their forthcoming missionary journey in the book of Acts, chapter 15. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. Paul again clashed with Peter over circumcision in Galatians 2.